That's 461-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network in Brunswick at 91.3. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you join us as we face the issues. Very special program today, Battle for America. I don't know if you've been paying attention. I pray that you have. That which we've seen taking place in the fake, phony farce called a trial of President Donald J. Trump, being found guilty, supposedly, of 34 charges, felonies, trumped-up charges, if I could use that term. We're going to investigate that, talk about that, analyze that. Where does it take us? What do we do? What's the end game? Where will we go with this? What does it connote for America? What will it do in relationship to the election coming up in about 5 months? How should we respond? Because we find in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And I've said for months and months and months now, back perhaps for the past almost 4 years, with the Biden administration, the people are mourning. America is under duress, if you please. We're finding today a failure of leadership in the Oval Office. As a result of that, we see the stumbling and the falling, the being mocked at, laughed at around the globe, and America is failing as a nation. And I believe it's time Christians, conservatives, and patriots wake up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. Ladies and gentlemen, our nation is in deep political, social, and spiritual trouble. Deep political, social, and spiritual trouble. The Biden administration, Biden controlling the DOJ, Merrick Garland is simply a puppet for Joe Biden. And as a result of that, we've seen lawfare taking place. That is where you're using the law in a backhanded cudgel to beat the political opponents in the head, to defeat the political opponent by fake, phony, farce trials rather than at the ballot box. We witnessed the 2020 election, where Joe Biden and the ones in control, he's just the puppet, the puppeteers, George Soros, Barack Hussein Obama, and the loose, lax, lost left, the Marxist media, forced the issue, put Joe Biden in office illegally, I believe. You can challenge that if you like. But I believe we're in a quagmire today, and I believe there's an answer. I believe there's a political answer. I believe there's a social answer. I believe there is a spiritual answer. And most of all, for the Christians, conservatives, and patriots, I believe that we need to look at the spiritual answer and ascertain what God would have us to do at this critical moment, this critical juncture in the life of our great nation, the United States of America. And as we face the issues today, ladies and gentlemen, as we do each and every day, may I remind you that we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. The source book for truth. The book that is truth. The book that is without error, without admixture, without any addition, without any subtraction. By the way, I think of it as I make that statement. If you ever run into anybody that says the errors in the Bible, give them a little piece of paper and a pen. Ask them to write down just one or two. And then when they, if they're ignorant enough to do so, say, then what you're saying is you're smarter than God. You've caught God in an error. You've caught God in a mistake. Is that what you're saying? Ladies and gentlemen, there are no errors in the scripture. There are things we may not understand. The scripture is without error. So may I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, it is the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe America is not free today, for the most part, because we faltered, we failed, we fumbled the ball, if you want to use that term, in relationship to standing on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God, the Bible. Jesus in John 14:6 says, I am truth. Jesus spoke of that when he said in his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. There's a need today in America more than ever before to turn back to God, turn back to the word of God, ask God to divinely intervene in this election process. Listen, we've got less than 5 months to go before we will determine the destiny of America. There is a major, major crescendo of a demonic battle that's taking place today in the hearts and the minds of men and women across America as to how they should vote, who's right and who's wrong. The laughter, the mockery, the thrill that we saw on the Communist Network news stations after Donald Trump was found guilty on 34 charges that were trumped up, fake, phony charges, was literally almost unbelievable that anybody would be thrilled at the results, not realizing apparently that it is tearing the warp and the woof that is the actual fabric of America apart, destroying the fundamental foundation of our once great nation called the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the Word of God, according to Psalms 117, verse 2, that stands forever. There are those that disbelieve in truth, those who want to ridicule truth. There are those that reject truth. It was the secularist George Orwell in the dystopian novel, 1984 was the title. By the way, you may or may not realize that was published in 47, 48, and 49, entitled 1984. But Orwell said, and I'm not commending him for his position on spiritual things by any stretch of the imagination. He was a secularist. But ladies and gentlemen, Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it. But I'm here to announce to you, truth matters. Truth matters. It is a fact today, ladies and gentlemen, that multitudes reject the truth. And it was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Jim DeMint said in part, truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, we have fumbled the ball from the standpoint of Christians and churches across America. Rather than standing for truth, the most are bowing to the secular woke culture, embracing the sodomite lifestyle and the sodomite agenda and the death by way of abortion and the transgenderism that's being promulgated and pushed today by the Biden administration as no other administration has ever in history done. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you that we're in danger as a nation of losing our sovereignty. We're in danger as a nation of losing our position that God gave us as a sovereign constitutional republic. And it is being lost today, ladies and gentlemen, through lawfare that's been carried out. And many today, rather than looking at it and understanding what has taken place in relationship to the lawfare, there are those that are thrilled because President Donald J. Trump's been found guilty. There are those that say that he ought not to run for president, that he needs to resign now. But I asked some questions today. Was that process legal? That meaning the process of the prosecution of Donald J. Trump, was it legal? Did the judge in that case, the case against Trump, was Was the judge partial, biased? Did he take a stand for the prosecution rather than being a moderator of truth and a courtroom of law? Did he have an axe to grind, as the old cliche goes? Where should that case go now? What should Trump's lawyers do? How should they respond? Those are the questions that we ask today and beg to be answered. Look forward to your dialogue and discussion on that. Our telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I believe I have Congressman Mike Hill on the line. Go ahead and read the question or comment, Congressman.
Thank you for Dr. Youngblood for taking my comment. My comment is this. When you look at our Declaration of Independence, our founding fathers listed 27 grievances against King George and the British. And if you ask someone what one of those grievances was and made their Declaration of Independence, what was the primary one? Most people will respond, taxation without representation. Mm-hmm. However, that was number 14 on that list.
Right.
Dr. Youngblood, there were four grievances listed against judges, against the judicial system. Mm-hmm. Our founding fathers had more grievances, as stated in the Declaration of Independence, against a corrupt judicial system than they did anything else. And the solution to those grievances we find in our Constitution. We find ourselves now in America in a very similar situation. Under the Obama and now the Biden administration, we find a Department of Justice that is so corrupt, that is so biased, that will be skewed towards their own ideology, that justice cannot be found. And so what we must do, I believe, Dr. Youngblood, is the same thing that our founding fathers did. First, we must start documenting these outrageous grievances, like we saw with this latest conviction of President Trump, which, by the way, we all knew what it was going to be even before the jury handed their sham conviction. We must start documenting these outrageous injustices that we're seeing coming from our judicial branch and the Department of Justice, and use that as a starting point to declare our independence from them or demand radical change.
Congressman, I couldn't have said it better myself. That's a good summarization of what is, as I see it, as you also have stated, as the staring, glaring fact of what we're faced with in America. Now, getting back to some fundamental, elemental thoughts, and that is on target with what you've just said. I think most people overlook that. In fact, in one of my books published about 2013-2014, I go through those, and I, in fact, have concluded there are 33 charges against King George that is found in the Declaration of Independence. And as you said, I believe one of the major ones would be the position that the courts took in that day, the judges took in that day. We're seeing a replay of that today. So my question, Congressman, thank you, by the way, for calling. Thank you for your input. It is very, very, very highly respected, and I'm thankful that you've taken a moment to call and share your thoughts. But the question that I'll ask before I let you go is this. What is the answer? What is the legal judiciary response that Trump's attorneys ought to take at this juncture? Should they simply go through the appeals process in New York State? They've got the appeals court, then they have the appeal through the New York State Supreme Court, and then it would go, normally speaking, in that process to the U.S. Supreme Court. Is there a process where they can short circuit, as I call it, jump through the hoop more quickly and go directly to the Supreme Court? And do you recommend that? And what do you think the response would be from the nine justices that we presently have?
Well, I think, Dr. Youngblood, that yes, they can request a accelerated response from the Supreme Court. They can go directly there. And the thing is, with this outrageous decision coming from this conflicted judge and this conflicted prosecutor, they knew before all this started that they were going to come up with a guilty conviction. They also know that it's going to be overturned. And here's the sad part about all this. They don't care. Our Constitution, John Adams said, is only suitable for a moral and religious people. Democrats today are immoral and irreligious. They don't care how bad this makes them look. They don't care that it was wrong. The goal was to stop Trump from, first of all, campaigning, make him spend his money on this sham trial, and also to be able to say, where Biden can be able to say and his entire cabal that Donald Trump is a convicted felon. He's campaigning as a convicted felon. That was their goal. They know it's going to be overturned. And if you go through the normal process, it will take months and will likely happen after the election. So Trump is going to have to request from the Supreme Court an accelerated review of this, that we go directly to the Supreme Court. It's going to be overturned if there's any justice at all in this world. And I believe that of those on the bench, there's three who may go against Trump. We know who those three are, maybe four if you include Roberts. But the rest are going to call this a sham trial and overturn it. And it needs to be done quickly. And in the meantime, the Biden administration is going to try and make hay out of this and say Trump is a convicted felon, and that's what we are running against. However, the mistake that they made, the Democrats that they made, is with this conviction, they have just helped elect Donald Trump on November 5th.
You say that, and I laugh because the latest number, I believe, was on the news. I believe it was either late last evening or early this morning, where Trump, in I think it's 3 days, has had contributions of over $200 million. And now, even after that, a deep-pocketed billionaire out of Utah, I believe it's out of Utah, has committed to $100 million to his campaign. So you're exactly right. They have just lit the match, struck the match. They've just lit the fire that will elect Donald Trump, in my opinion. Here's a statement that I find sad and laughable. President Joe Biden declares, quote, "It's dangerous for anyone to say that Trump's trial was rigged." He goes on to say, Joe Biden addressed the guilty verdict reached the day prior to the falsified business records case against Trump, declaring that it's dangerous for anyone to say that it was a rigged trial. It's reckless. It's dangerous. It's irresponsible for anyone to say that the trial was rigged because they don't like the verdict. Just because they don't like the verdict, they can't say that it is rigged, Biden said. Quote, "The American principle that no one is above the law was just reaffirmed." Congressman, I find that laughable, knowing what Biden is guilty of absolute treason of selling America, knowing what Biden has done in relationship to the theft of highly classified documents over a 50-year period of time while in the Senate and also as vice president, with them those documents being found in five different locations, including spewed out on his garage floor, and yet saying that Trump is guilty of having classified documents that he was not authorized to have. I find it laughable that this is taking place and that Biden has said it's dangerous to say that Trump's trial was rigged. I find it totally laughable. And I'm looking at a headline, Congressman, says Speaker, that's Mike Johnson, urges the U.S. Supreme Court to intervene in Biden's lawfare against Trump. The article dated May 31st, 2024, House Speaker Mike Johnson on Friday called for the Supreme Court of the United States to take action immediately after a jury convicted former President Donald J. Trump on Thursday. So I find that there is the call, there is the chafing at the bits, if you please, from those in higher office as well as those on the street today that's saying there's got to be a fast track of getting vindication and relief for Donald Trump. So what are your final thoughts before we let you go? And again, thank you for taking time to call in and give your thoughts and insight on this subject today.
Well, I'm glad I could call in, Dr. Youngblood, and thank you for having me. My final thought on this is that Speaker Johnson and others need to take some concrete actions about this. Yeah, I mean, for him to say, the Supreme Court, please accelerate this, okay, that's good. And they need to put that in writing to the Supreme Court, and I believe he will. But here's the next step. There's a process called impeachment of judges. And that impeachment is in our Constitution, the grounds for it, and the grounds for bad behavior. It is so obvious that Judge Merchant's conduct before, during, and after this entire case has been bad behavior, including setting the sentencing date just days before the Republican National Convention. So I would like to see Speaker Johnson and the House begin impeachment proceedings against this judge. I don't believe they have the authority as the federal government to go after this rogue prosecutor, Alvin Bragg. I think that has to come from the state level. I'm not quite sure. But if so, then they should also proceed in firing this Bragg, or strongly encouraging it from the governor of Florida, just like DeSantis did with that rogue prosecutor out of Tampa who said he was not going to prosecute anyone who violated the idea of aborting babies too early, that he said he was not going to abide by it, that he was not going to abide by getting rid of the LGBTQ agenda in government in Florida. And so DeSantis fired him. And I think that's what we need to do with this Alvin Bragg. And impeachment proceedings need to be done against Judge Merchant, as also encouraging the Supreme Court to fast-track this and get it behind us so that we can President Trump can go ahead and continue campaigning for his victory on November 5th.
Absolutely. I've got one statement and get your response to it or your take on it. It's a statement from Governor. You touched on Governor DeSantis. Governor Ron DeSantis of the state of Florida said this. He said, today's verdict, that was the day of the verdict from the courts against Trump, today's verdict represents the culmination of a legal process that has been bent to the political will of the actors involved. A leftist prosecutor, a partisan judge, a jury reflective of one of the most liberal enclaves in America, all in an effort to get Donald Trump, end quote. I think that summarizes what we've just said. I think it summarizes the general feeling of the public today. And I am thankful for your insight about the judges. Now, one final question I must ask this. Is it possible in your mind, when Trump takes office as president, does he have the authority to, by executive order, remove district attorneys across America that are the leftists that are put in office by George Soros to undermine the Constitution and to undermine our legal process in America? Is it possible for him to do that, and do you think he will?
Dr. Youngblood, I candidly do not know the answer to that question. I know that there are prosecutors at different levels, county, state, and I believe federal level, but I'm not sure. If it's at the federal level, then he absolutely has the authority as the head of the executive branch to be able to remove those district attorneys. And I hope he would do that, those ones especially who have been backed by George Soros that are wreaking havoc on our judicial system.
And I asked that question because I don't know if you recall enough, but when Bill Clinton went into office, I think it was Bill Clinton, it could have been Obama, one of the two of them, fired 127 state's attorneys across America, district attorney or state's attorneys, whatever they're called in different states, fired them. and there was a lot of rumble about it, but I was told then, and I understood their position was, they had the authority to do so. I've never determined, and perhaps some of our listeners might have the answer, did they have the legal authority to do that? And if they did, so also President Trump will have that authority. And it's my prayer something that can take place to, with a fresh broom, sweep house with the Soros-planted district attorneys that want nothing more than to destroy the legal constitutionality of our nation and to undermine and see America implode. Congressman Hill, thank you. Thank you so much for your call. Thank you for your insight. And may God bless you today as you continue to serve the Lord. Thank you again.
Amen.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Love to hear your thoughts, your 2 cents worth, as some have called it. We're talking about the battle for America. The battle for America. And we're in what I simply call hand-to-hand combat, not with the weapons in hand, but hand-to-hand combat. We're witnessing a demonic, delusional battle to destroy the United States of America. And ladies and gentlemen, God has given us a wonderful, wonderful Declaration of Independence. He's given us a wonderful Constitution wherein we find our Bill of Rights. God, I believe, is the author of that, though we human hands and human minds put it together. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize the danger that we're in today, and the what we are treading upon is the goal by some to destroy the Constitution, destroy America. I'm looking at, by the way, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I'm looking at the headline, Judge Merchan, Judge Merchan tells jurors they do not need to agree on unlawful means to convict Trump. Listen very carefully. It's a five-page article. I'm going to summarize it with one or two of the brief paragraphs in this article. But the judge in President Trump's case had a preconceived idea and notion. He had a predetermined decision that Trump was going to be found guilty, and they twisted the law. They undermined anything that we'll call constitutional law. They undermined anything that will be called presidential immunity, and we'll talk about that during the broadcast today. Does Donald J. Trump have presidential immunity? That's still a pending case by the U.S. Supreme Court. And we'll talk about that in depth in just a moment. But Merchan tells jurors they do not need to agree on unlawful means to convict. The 12 jurors in the New York criminal case against former President Donald J. Trump began deliberations following instructions on the law from Acting Justice Juan Merchan. Merchan declared, as he delivered the, this writer calls it, the coup de grace instructions. For 1 hour, he read a 50-page charge to the jury. And the bottom line was, he basically said, out of the jurors, some can find him guilty on this, some can find him guilty on the other, some can find him guilty on the other, and you do not need to come to a consensus on his being guilty. And yet the premise was that if any one juror disagreed, it could be a hung jury, or if any one juror found him not guilty, it would throw the case out of court. But the judge so altered and so worded the charge to the jury that it would have taken a genius to understand the charge. And I believe it was a fraudulent trial to begin with. And here's the end results, where he charged the jury with such a broad charge, with such a nebulous terminology, that the jurors did not know what to do other than say guilty, 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 guilty. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I understand almost impossibility to seat a non-biased jury in New York State, New York City in particular, Manhattan in particular, when about 99.999% are socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats, if you will. And how do you seat one, a jury that's going to be non-biased to protect the legal rights of an individual, especially Donald J. Trump that's seated before them? I think that we've had a major, major, major miscarriage of justice. I think that we're in a very precarious position, lest that is righted before the November 5th election. I believe this must be righted. I believe there must be a determination that puts it back on an even keel. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back, right after the top of the hour news.
Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville.